We're beginning Mishnayos Beitza. The Mishnayos focus on the laws of Yom Tov. The first Mishnah focuses on three areas of Hilchos Yom Tov where we have an exception to our rule. Meaning our rule is that Beis Shammai are ordinarily the stringent ones and Beis Hillel are the lenient ones. So our general rule is that Beis Shammai are always the more stringent ones. There are a few exceptions where Beis Shammai are more lenient, and our Mishnah puts together the instances where Beis Shammai are more lenient with regard to the laws of Yom Tov. So we begin. If an egg was laid on Yom Tov, Beis Shammai say, go ahead, eat it. Because what's the problem? You can enjoy that egg. But then we not tachel. So say no, don't eat that egg. What are you talking about? So Beis Shammai hold there is no problem of mukta, and Beis Hillel hold there is a problem of mukta and nolad. This is a more severe form of mukta, an egg that's born on Yom Tov, so it wasn't accessible yesterday. So Beis Hillel prohibited. So we have here the base point, which is a big discussion in the Rishonim. The Gemara offers that even though Beis Hillel are lenient with regard to the laws of Muktzah by Shabbos, by Yom Tov they are more stringent because people have a tendency to assume that Yom Tov is so lenient, you could cook, you could bake. So that's why the rabbis had to remind us that yes, there are certain areas which the Torah permitted on Yom Tov, but nonetheless, you have to be careful with other things. So that's why they were more stringent with regard to the laws of Muktzah on Yom Tov. Beit Shammai Wim Sob Chazayt Chamitzka Kotevit. Beit Shammai, based on derivation from Pasuk, Beit Shammai says, why did the Torah have to prohibit Seor, sourdough, and Chametz? Why did the Torah have to say both? To tell you that the measurement for each is different. That the measurement for Seor is a kezait, and Chametz is up to the size of tmara, of a date. So that's the prohibition, how far, what do you have to eat in order to transgress. So we say, Chatzi Shir Asur Min HaTorah, prohibited, even a kernel of Chametz is prohibited. The smallest piece is prohibited. The question is, at what point does a person get lashes? At what point does he... When it comes to eating, everyone agrees it's a kezayis. The machlokas is when it comes to beer chametz, that you have to get rid of the chametz in your home. So what's the shear that a person will get punished for if he transgresses that? So Beis Shammai say seor is a kezayis and chametz is the size of a date. They both have the shear of kezayis. Just like when you eat it, you have to eat a kezayis in order to get punished, so too, in order to be over on the chiyuv of biur, to get rid of your chametz, so that's also kezayis. Hashchot chayav of b'yom tov. If someone comes on Yom Tov to slaughter a bird or a wild animal, so chaya and ov, those two, you have to, a mitzvah of kisei adam. You have to cover a puddle of its blood with earth or something like earth after you slaughter it. So what do you do? So Beit Shammai, we miyachpo b'deka v'yichase. Beit Shammai say, fine, you slaughter it. And then if you have a shovel that's in the ground already that uprooted the earth, so you just pick up that shovel and you put the earth down. And on the blood. But lenumrim lo yishchot enum keni halo afar muchan mibod yom. And Beis Hillel say, no, don't you slaughter unless you already have dirt that's been prepared from the day. And it's not enough that your shovel is in the dirt and you and that dirt is separate in the shovel from the day before. You have to literally have earth that was prepared, set aside from the day before. But they also agree that if you already slaughtered, so if you have that dirt in the shovel already, that the shovel's in the ground, and the dirt is all dirt that's like sand, that when you lift, you're not going to make a hole, The rest is going to fill in. It's going to... the rest is going to fill the gap. So that's called afal tichuach. When the earth is ground very fine, so then you lift a bunch, so the other bunch slides in to fill its place. So then, Beis Hillel say, okay, you could take out that shovel full because you have a mitzvah now to cover the blood. By nighttime, the blood will be dried up. You'll miss your mitzvah. So ideally, we'd rather you take a cloud of earth and you put it aside. You put it in a cup or something. Prepare the earth for Kisei Adam before Yom Tov. We don't like this idea of having a shovel with earth prepared. A shovel in the ground that the earth that's in that shovel is considered prepared. We don't like that. You want to take a shovel out of the ground and have a shovel with earth on the side, fine. You want to have a cup with earth, fine. But that's all rabbinic. So Beis Hillel say, we won't let you slaughter unless you have earth prepared for Kisei Adam. But if you already slaughtered, so then okay, take that earth that's in the shovel in the ground. That's enough. She'efek yira muchanu. And also, everyone agrees that the hearth, the ash that you have in your oven, is also, you had in mind that you're going to do whatever you need with it. So even if on Yom Tov, you're putting more logs on the fire, and now you have ash, so you can take that ash and use it to cover it. Because in their days, they used the hearth a lot. So they used ashes all the time in their days, because they used to use the hot coals and the hot ashes to keep food warm. That was their plata. So they're on a daily basis. They used to take their pots and stuff and put it in the hearth. They would literally put it inside the coals to keep it hot. So everyone knew that when you're burning logs, your intention is you're still going to use those coals, you're still going to use those ashes. It had many uses in the home. So that's why over here, the Beis Hillel will agree that if you have ashes, hot ashes in the hearth, so then for sure you could use that to cover the blood as well.
The mitzvah of Kisui Dam is with dirt or with ash?
One. So that's a machlokas and chulin, but we'll say that anything that can grow is fine. Anything you could grow things in.
Like mud?
That too. Yeah.
Water?
Water not. No. So it has to be like dust. It has to be like particles like that.
You can grow something in ash?
Yeah, sure. It's one of the fertilizers to use. Bet Shemayim Rim. Slash and burn. That was Palestine in South Africa, no? Okay. Slash and burn. They'd harvest the forest. Then they'd burn them down, and then the ashes from what they burn would allow them to
plant. They'd burn the mountain. My school was on the mountain. They used to burn like bunches of the mountain.
The it's called the slash and burn policy.
It happens naturally.
Ooh. Mishnah Gimel. Bet Shemayim Rim and Molichin et Asulam Mishovach Leshovach. So I don't know what they call these things. They have these pigeonholes, but they'd have series of pigeonholes. You guys ever see this when you go
dove
hiking cut. Sometimes? What are they called?
Dovecot.
I don't know.
In the mountains? Or?
So they'd have like a whole wall. They'd have series of pigeonholes. So now, you want to go with your ladder. So if you go with the ladder that you use to paint your house, so you can't walk around with that on Yom Tov. People are going to think you're going to paint your roof on Yom Tov. So that you can't do. Let's say you have a ladder that's for the pigeonholes. So it's covered with the pigeon feces. So you can't walk around public domain because people are going to say, look at him. Why is he walking around in public with his ladder? He's doing work on Yom Tov. The question is, if you're in your own domain, meaning you're in your own property, and people don't see you, you want to take this ladder that's used for the pigeonholes and take it from one set of pigeonholes to another set of pigeonholes. So, Beis Shammai say, you can't do that, because whenever Chazal prohibited Marisayin, something that looks bad, so then they said you can't do it in private either. So, Beis Shammai, we men molchin tasura meshovach leshovach, even in your own home, you can't take the ladder from one set of pigeonholes to another.
They'd have these
They'd have walls filled with holes that the pigeons would come and nest, and they'd stay there. And pigeons, so long as they have two kids in a coop, they always come back to the same pigeonhole. They always have a minimum that's called the brecha. The brecha is the minimum amount of pigeons. So long as they have those two babies, they always come back to the same hole. So then you have them whenever you want to eat them. We'll see many mishnayot about pigeons. You want to eat them? Yeah. Little pigeons, yes.
Only pigeons? Not other birds.
No messenger pigeons?
I don't know.
But son, I want to take my, ladder and climb up and take them out and slaughter them.
Right, exactly. Perfect, yes. You understood. So that's what you're going to do. You're going to have a yummy pigeon soup. And
but people might think that I'm going to use this ladder for that, but people might think that I'm going to go paint my roof.
Right. If people see you walking around with the ladder, so we say it like this. If you're going to go in public domain, even though you're just going to your other set of pigeonholes that are down at the other end of town.
So you make them on purpose, these pigeonholes, in order to get them to come? And,
yeah. People would have walls filled with holes, and the pigeons would come. Yeah. So there are halachas about not stealing someone else's pigeons or someone else's bees and all that. Yes, people had pigeonholes. They'd collect pigeons, and then they'd eat them, and they'd eat their eggs. They'd sell them. What?
Those were the days.
Those were the days. Okay. So.
Could always renew that.
What?
Could always renew that.
Could always. Okay. So, okay. So, Beshamai say, if you want to take your ladder, so even if you can't, everyone agrees you can't walk in public domain with the ladder. Everyone agrees you can't walk around, even in private domain, with the ladder that you use to fix your roof. The question is, when I'm taking the ladder that's really meant for the pigeonholes, and I want to take it from one set of pigeonholes in my property to another set of pigeonholes, to take down pigeons to eat, yes.
You need a special Yom Tov ladder?
So you don't need a special Yom Tov ladder, but Beis Shammai say, leave your ladder before Yom Tov by the pigeonholes you need, because we're not going to let you walk around with that ladder, because just like you couldn't walk around with it publicly, because people would think you're going to paint your roof, so too, we don't let you do it privately. Because whatever we prohibited because of Maris Ayin, whatever we said, we're concerned, it looks bad. So we say, don't do it at home, because you're going to assume no one sees, but people see. It's like all those Jews who go to Chutzarts, and on the second day Yom Tov, they all say, no one sees, I'm in my own house, and I turn on the light, I turn off the light. There was a visiting professor in New York who was in his own apartment, and after he left, so the neighbor from the floor above him went to one of the rabbis and said, I want you to find me a real rabbi, not like that professor who lived the floor beneath me. He was a faker. So he asked her, what do you mean? Why was he a faker? So she said, on Yom Tov, the second day Yom Tov, he thought no one was looking. I saw at night, I could see the reflection. He turned on his light, turned off his light. I was the floor above him, and I could see when he was flicking on the lights, off the lights, and he was a faker. So he was an Israeli, and he thought no one was looking, and he figured I'm in Chutzar. It's second day Yom Tov, I could get away with it.
He was a rabbi?
He was a visiting professor, but...
A rabbi showed me halacha when I was in Chutzar, so you can't do any of these things.
Right. But people think, you know, there is an opinion that says if you could do it where no one sees, so that's okay. So I could tell you that I know many people, many families, that were visiting in Chutzarts for a year or two, and during that time they'd go to the Statue of Liberty and stuff like that, Chol HaMoed, when everyone else was celebrating the second day Yom Tov, they'd say, we're Israeli, what's the second day Yom Tov business? Where they'd put on baseball caps without their yarmulkes, they'd go out on field day trips, and they thought no one saw them. But no, people, everyone knows. Everyone knew what they were doing.
Well, I heard a story from David Fink, in Libya or Algeria or something, there were shluchim from Eretz Yisrael, and they were teaching the community, and on the eighth day of Pesach they would quietly go and sneak off and eat pidot, like in the Roman amphitheater, and they thought like no one saw it, and then like years later like it was I should have told the story more. It was found out that the Jews in Tripoli would go to the Roman amphitheater on the eighth day of Yom Tov and eat chametz, even though it was totally asur. And then they tried to find out where did they get this custom from, and it was because of these shluchim from Eretz Yisrael that would come and secretly sneak off, and somebody saw them eating chametz in the amphitheater.
Yeah. So this idea of chadrei chadarim is Because people think they're in private. But
that's the only reason why they say that?
No. Mishnah Berurah brings another reason called lo plug. Once Chazal said it, so then that's it. It's a blanket marisayan. But people always think they can get away with it. There was a guy who, I don't know if he's still living, he wrote a whole book about why he left Judaism. So one of his main reasons was because his father was a faker. How's his father a faker? His father was a rabbi of the community, and this was a time when electricity was just coming out. And then there was a big machlokas whether electricity was permitted or prohibited. So his father held it was permitted. But he knew publicly he couldn't say it because everyone else held it was prohibited.
God.
So,
you know how much this rabbi loves Torah and loves you as students. It's amazing.
Can we offer you some cereal?
Thank you.
Some wafers?
No, thank you. Shukar.
So, he would go at night, after everyone went to sleep, he would go down to the basement, turn on a lamp on Friday night, and learn, because he held that electricity was mutter. It became clear since then, everyone holds electricity is prohibited. But when electricity first came out, there were all kinds of discussions, maybe the electricity already exists in the socket. Okay, so that's what he thought. He thought no one was looking. His son, as a little boy, would sneak down, and when everyone thought he was sleeping, he'd go down and watch his father learn. And then he'd see, oh, Abba tells everyone he's Shomer Shabbos. But there he is, turning on the light when he wants to learn, turning off the light when he leaves the basement. And the kid left all of Judaism.
Someone informed him that it was because of the book.
Someone tried. I heard it from a person who tried. But, you know, by now he's an old man. He's already set in his ways. But that's the simple understanding of the story. We often think no one's going to see. No, people do see. And you don't even know they saw you. Like that visiting professor. He figured no one sees. He didn't realize his neighbor from above saw the reflection and saw the light go on and saw the light go off. Okay, so that's the idea. Chadrei chadarim. I don't care if it's a room within a room.
It's going to like wake up a mamad in the middle of your apartment.
Yeah, so we say a room within a room. That's still prohibited. So that's what Beit Shammai say. So that's this idea of marisayin. When you do something that can be misunderstood, it looks bad. So then anything that's prohibited because of that, afil b'chadrei chadarim, even in a room within a room, that's prohibited. So Beit Shammai say the best we'll let you do is tilt the ladder from this hole to that hole. Meaning sometimes, till today, if you guys go to excavation digs, you'll see it. They have holes on one side of the wall and on the other side in there. You could tilt it from one side to the other, but you can't move it from one set of pigeonholes to another. Uvet ilen matirin, and Beis Hillel say, you're right. We agree that you're not allowed to do something b'chadrei chadarim. Anything that's prohibited because of marisayin, you can't do it even in a room within a room. But here we have another thing to factor. There's a mitzvah of simchas yom tov. We want a person to be happy on yom tov. What are you going to do? You're not going to let him have foul? That's really foul. So Chazal said, we're going to let him do this. So that's why Beis Hillel matir. Beis Shammai omrim, lo yitol elen ken yanami bod yom. So this is going to be basic for a later Mishnah. We have here fascinating, very important, and complex Mishnayot coming up. So Beis Shammai say, if you want to take birds out of this this pigeonhole, you have to have taken them before Yom Tov, lifted them, and said, okay, this is what I'm eating tomorrow. But if you didn't actually lift them before Yom Tov, if you weren't minaneh, if you didn't lift them, you can't take them on Yom Tov. Beis Hillel say, nah, it's enough to stand and say, hole number 52, hole number 57, those are the two pigeons I'm eating tomorrow. So what's the question here? Beis Shammai are concerned that if you don't actually lift the two pigeons, what do we call them?
Mukta.
No, the two pigeons, Tom and Jerry, okay. Tweety and Fleety, okay? So if you don't actually pick up Tweety and Fleety before Yom Tov, we're concerned that when Yom Tov comes, you're going to pick them up and say, hey, you lost weight. You're not as yummy as I thought you're going to be. You fatten up before I eat you. So then what's going to happen? You're going to end up having dealt with and lifted your birds, Tweety and Fleety, on Yom Tov when you're not going to eat them. So you end up moving around, fidgeting with Muktzeh, not for the sake of eating on Yom Tov, because you're going to lift one of them and say, hey, you're not as yummy as I thought you're going to be. Goodbye, I'm not eating you today. So that's why Beis Shammai say, I want you to pick them up in your hands before Yom Tov. So you get a feel. You know exactly how much meat you're going to get, and you don't have any surprises in Yom Tov. Beis Hillel aren't as concerned. Beis Hillel say, no, it's enough that you say, this isn't the one and that's the one. And next time, we're going to have to figure out what next time is. Next time we're going to have to learn the Mishnayot, enter a very fascinating discussion. What happens if you prepared black pigeons in hole 57 and you find white pigeons? Meaning now that we said you have to prepare them, that even they still say designate them, what happens if you prepared? You prepared white and found black. You prepared black and found white. You prepared two and found three. You prepared three and found two. Meaning ordinarily you have three people, Tweety, Fleety, and Jerry living in that hole. Now there are two. There's so Tweety, Fleety, and Jerry are always together. Do I assume these are a foreign pair? Or do I say, no, one flew away? What happens if I set them aside here? And now I find this hole empty and the lower hole full. So we're going to deal with all of this, which are basic Mishnayot and the laws of Sveikot and Rov and Karov. And that's where we'll pick up Ezrat Hashem next time. And you